Morning, family. If you would please open your Bibles to the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. Back when I lived in Michigan, I made a friend by the name of Martine. Now, Martine was a Nahua Indian who had grown up in the central highlands of Mexico. He didn't even speak any other language other than his native Nahua until he was about 14 when he learned Spanish. When he was a boy, he was in charge of his family's small flock of sheep and goats. His job was to take them out from the pen every morning, lead them up into the higher mountain valleys for pasture, and then bring them back that evening. Now, one day while he was doing that, a cougar killed one of the sheep. And Martine was so ashamed of this devastating loss to his family that he decided not to go home that night. He stayed out in the mountains, which ended up causing his parents to think he'd been killed. So when he did come down the next morning, they were so glad to see him, the lost sheep was all but forgotten. I don't know if that was part of his plan or not. But sometimes when I think of that particular story that Martine shared with me, I think of another shepherd boy who was responsible for his family's sheep. And though this boy lived on the other side of the planet, in some 3,000 years before Martine, his job was pretty much the same. Every day, take the family sheep to pasture to make sure they're fed and watered, protect them from wild animals and bandits, mend and nurture the sick and injured sheep, and keep the ornery critters from wandering off. Now, years later, that boy not only became a man, but a poet and a king. And oftentimes, when David thought of his relationship to God, his mind dwelt upon the metaphor of God as his shepherd. So he wrote, "Yahweh is my shepherd. I shall never be in need. He lets me rest in green pastures. He leads me to peaceful waters. He refreshes my soul." Now, David was not a hired hand tending someone else's sheep. The sheep belonged to his family, and so it was for most shepherds in the ancient Near East. Smelly and ornery as those critters were, the family depended on those sheep and goats for their very existence, for wool, for milk, for meat. In one sense, those sheep were an extension of the family. It was usual to actually name their sheep. At night, the families of the village would bring all the sheep together into one pen for protection, and then the next morning, the shepherds, usually boys or girls, ages 6 to 12, would come to the pen and they would call out their own family sheep by name, separate them from the larger village flock, and then head off to pasture. Now, a responsible shepherd was attentive to the sheep in his or her charge. And two of the basic needs of any animal, sheep and goats the same, are that they be fed well. As David said, "Lead me to green pastures," and that they be well watered leads me to peaceful waters. Now, just as David used the shepherd metaphor in reference to God, Jesus referred to his followers as his flock of sheep in John chapter 10. The Holy Spirit, through the apostles Paul and Peter, extended that metaphor to describe a certain group of human leaders within Christ's fold as shepherds. "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers," said Paul to the elders at Ephesus. "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood," Acts 20 and 28. We heard Peter say something similar in today's scripture reading from 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. One of the responsibilities of our shepherds is to see that we are regularly fed a healthy diet of God's Word, just as Jesus told Peter, "Feed my sheep," in John 21. And that responsibility also includes making sure the sheep don't mistakenly eat poisonous plants. False teachings. As stated in Titus 1 and 9, the elder shepherd must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Shepherds must also be able to lead us to the living water where we can be refreshed by the Spirit of God and make sure that the Holy Spirit is not quenched. As Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. From John chapter 4, 10 through 14. We're cautioned in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 not to quench the Spirit. What all of that means is that as we, the congregation, look among our members for potential elder shepherds, we need to be looking for people who have the ability to see that this flock is fed God's Word, that we're safely brought to green pastures. We need people who are capable of fostering a healthy spiritual climate that leads us to the living water so that our souls are refreshed. David's poem continues, for the sake of his good name, he leads me on paths that are right. Even when I walk through dark valleys where death may lie, I will not be afraid, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff make me feel safe. Now, a good shepherd is not going to take the family's sheep down a path he has no idea where it goes. It won't lead him down a treacherous path. Instead, he will lead the sheep down the path that he knows go to pasture and go to good water. The prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 18:15 lamented about Israel shepherds that were taking them away from God. They burn incense to worthless idols, which made them stumble in their ways and in the ancient paths. They made them walk in bypaths and roads not built up. It's not what a good shepherd does. They take us to those vibrant pastures, the clean water. And while the sheep are feeding and drinking and resting, the conscientious shepherd stands guard over the sheep. That rod that David spoke of is a club. It's a weapon. But it's not meant to be used on the sheep. Although I'm sure there was a preteen boy every now and then that just got so frustrated, whacked one of them on the head. But that's not what it was for. It was to protect the sheep from wild animals and from rustlers. The shepherd's staff that David spoke of, again, was not a club to be used on the sheep. It was actually a leash that would, they'd reach out and that hook would go around the sheep's neck, not to choke it to death, but to steer it back to where it needed to be. As we seek to appoint new elder shepherds for this family, we need to be prayerfully searching among us for those that you deem capable and qualified to lead us down right paths. Are there currently those with whom you feel safe and protected when traversing life's dark valleys? When you're having troubles, when you're facing trials, is there someone here you go to for counsel and for comfort and even for correction when you need it, that you feel safe around them? Are there individuals in this family that you believe are capable of guarding this flock against destructive teachings and destructive people? Is there a person whose judgment and discipline you could go to and in good conscience submit to? Those are the kinds of questions we need to be asking ourselves. David's poem concludes, you prepare a feast for me while my enemies look on. You honor me by anointing my head with olive oil. You fill my cup beyond measure. Surely your kindness and love will be with me each day of my life, and I will live in Yahweh's house forever. What this tells us is that a good shepherd is an honorable person possessing a generosity of spirit, a kindliness toward others, and the love of God's people. This person is not a fair weather leader, but one who will stay out in the fields with the flock in the most difficult of times. Now, in the weeks ahead, as we continue to explore the different facets of the role of the elder shepherd in the Bible, we look at what the Bible teaches regarding congregational leadership. I'm asking you, first, each week to carefully reflect on the passages that we bring up and explore together in the sermons. And I ask you then to prayerfully reflect on the people who make up this church family. Are there those among us that you believe are capable of filling the role of shepherd, able to nurture us, able to nourish us, able to defend and protect this flock? And if after prayer and meditation, a person comes to your mind, go talk to them. Let them know that you think of them in this light. Encourage them to consider serving in this role. But what if you rack your brains and after weeks of prayer you come up with nobody? Could happen. What I'd ask you to do in those circumstances is take the long view. Is there someone here who you can envision 5 years, 10 years, even 20 years down the road, growing into the role of elder shepherd? If there's someone you can picture doing that, then go to them and tell them that you see him growing into that role. Or write them a letter telling them why you see them growing into that role. Tell them what positive attributes you see in them already that in time would blossom into someone capable of serving the congregation in this way. And if you have the kind of relationship that will allow it, let them know where you think they need to work in order to grow into that role. Once you point them in that direction, keep encouraging them down that path. One of the things that concerns me about congregations is that we keep trying to reap a crop that we haven't planted. We haven't trained people in these roles. We haven't done anything purposeful, constructive, to equip them for this role. We don't say boo to them years before they reach an age where we might consider them. We don't even plant that seed in their thought for years down the road to germinate. And we don't work to nurture them and equip them and mature them to become good shepherds one day. We cannot sow a harvest if we haven't, or reap a harvest if we haven't sowed the seed. So even if this time around you can't come up with anybody, think years down the road. I'm talking visit with some of our teens and say, hey, I realize it may be 30, 40 years from now, but the body of Christ needs shepherds. Needs shepherds now, will need shepherds then. You ought to live in such a way and make choices in such a way that you become this kind of person. Plant that seed now. As far as I'm concerned, it's never too early to plant that thought. Because biblical elders don't just happen by accident. They're planned for. They're groomed. They're nurtured. They're developed. And think about this. It's no picnic to be in a leadership position. You know? Because I can guarantee you, no matter what you do, you're going to make somebody unhappy. And they'll let you know. Either directly, which would be the preferred way, or indirectly, which is a shameful way. They'll let you know. And to become a shepherd or to become a deacon, you and your family are scrutinized by the congregation. Does this person and this family, do they fit the qualities we read about in Scripture? Well, I don't know. Well, what about this? What about that? That's necessary, but it ain't fun. Especially if you're the one being critiqued. So, if we expect people to become our deacons and to become our elders, our shepherds, then we need to get behind them. We need to invest in them. We need to help them be the best potential shepherds and the best potential deacons that they can be. We need to equip them and nurture them and cultivate them to become good leaders. Because again, good leaders don't happen by accident. I encourage you today and for the rest of this week to reflect on Psalm 23. And what it says about the role of a shepherd. The flip side of that would be Ezekiel 34. Because there the prophet takes to task Israel's shepherds for not doing what they were supposed to do. Well, you can look at it in a negative light, but you can also see what they were supposed to do there. And learn from it that way as well. Reflect on those two passages, Psalm 23, Ezekiel 34. And then go through our church directory. And pray over each family. And ask God to be raising up leaders for us. Particularly leaders in these roles. Appreciate you listening, family. The lesson is yours. We come now to a time in our service that we set aside for sharing. We invite people to bring a need before their family. It doesn't have to have anything to do with the message. It has more to do with where you're at today in your walk. If you're struggling in some way, and we all do, and you're just kind of feeling like you're treading water, and you need help, then let us know so we can lift you up in prayer. If you want to know more about this God who wants to take you to good pasture and wants to bring you rest by the quiet water, God who wants to bless you, and you want to know how to have a saving relationship with Him, how to become one of His sheep, part of His flock, we're on that same journey. We'd be happy to open up the Word of God and let it show you how to come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe that you have a praise you want to share to encourage us. We're open to that as well. In a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. During that time, one of our current shepherds will come up here and wait to see if you want to come up and talk to him and share what you want shared with the church family. But if that's just too much for you, too public, that's okay. When we're done, pull someone aside. There's lots of rooms down the hallway. Just pull someone aside into one of those rooms and say, I'm struggling with this. Will you pray for me and pray with me, please? We'd all be happy to do that for you. Will you join me as we stand and as we sing?
I am the sheep and the Lord is the shepherd, watching over my soul. My soul to keep being over me ever, watching over I go. And when the winds blow, he is my shelter. Stand alone, he rescues me. And when the lion comes, he is my victory. Constantly watch. Over me, he is constantly watching over me. We are his children, and he is our father, watching over my soul. Great is the love for his sons and his daughters, watching wherever we go. And when the winds blow, he is my shelter. And when the light and alone, he rescues me. And when the lion comes, he is my victory. Constantly watching over me. He is constantly watching over me. And when the wind blows, he is my shout. And when I'm lost and alone, he rescues me. And when the lion he is my victory, constantly watching over me. He is constantly watching over me.